First item on the agenda is the election of chairman, and then I'll turn the meeting over to the chairman. Do we have a motion for the position of chairman for the coming 2018 calendar year?
I nominate Barry Bibb to be the chairman.
Second.
I have a motion from Mr. Zimmer and a second from Ms. Codalesa. Do I have?
I move the nominations be closed.
Do I have a second on that?
Second.
All right. Do we have, the nominations are closed. Do we have a vote on Mr. Bibb as chairman for 2018 calendar year? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? 5-0. Mr. Bibb, I'll turn the meeting officially over to you once again.
Thank you. The next item of business is the election of the vice chairman. At this time, we're open for nominations for a vice chairman.
I nominate Ed Zender to be vice chairman.
Okay, have a motion. I have a motion and a second for Mr. Zimmer to be the vice chairman.
Make a motion to close nominations.
Okay, we have a motion to close nominations. Do we have a second? Have a second for that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0. Okay. The next item is election of dates for the Planning Commission. In our package, there are the dates. And does anybody see any problem with that? And if you'll notice, our meetings will, from now on, will be held here in the Morris Room. I think all of the meetings this year are on the second Tuesday of the month. We didn't have to move either to November.
No, there's one that's
August.
Not.
Yeah.
The August meeting is different. Okay. Okay. We have a resolution do we need to vote on the dates?
Yes, we have a motion to approve the adopt the meeting calendar as presented.
Do I have a motion to approve the calendar?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, have a motion, Ms. Costolina, a second by Mr. Lagancino. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0. Next item is a resolution titled exhibit meeting of the Fluvanna Planning Commission, adoption of the Planning Commission bylaws and rules of procedure. Do we have a motion to accept those?
So moved.
Okay, have a motion by Mr. Zimmer. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have
Chairman,
a second.
Before you vote, there's not really any. I was going to comment on the rules. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. And a second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0. Okay. Did you have a comment about the?
Yeah, I think the real salient change that's made this year is not a major change, but it does clarify one thing, and that is, in the case of extensions, obviously you're appointed to be on this commission to take appropriate action, and you shouldn't disqualify yourself unless you have some question about whether it's appropriate for you to hear it. But one thing that is significant is that if you perceive that you have a conflict of interest, as opposed to you're just not comfortable hearing it or whatever it might be, you should identify that conflict and disqualify yourself, because in that case it has an impact on the number of people necessary to affect the vote. So, for example, if there were four of you here tonight, and let's say there were three of you here tonight, so that would be a quorum, and then one of you had a conflict of interest, that person disqualifies himself. There's a statute that says even though that's less than a quorum, it doesn't destroy the quorum if what causes the quorum, the number involved below the quorum, the strict quorum number, is occasioned by compliance with the Conflict of Interest Act, it doesn't destroy the quorum. So if you, you know, if, for example, you just don't feel, you know, you're knowledgeable about it enough that you, you're going, you feel want to act on it, that's not a conflict of interest. So if you had three and one of you disqualified himself for that or didn't participate because of that, you wouldn't be able to, the commission wouldn't be able to act. With the conflict of interest, you can still act because it's a statute that says so. And I just want to point that out. So that's one of the things, is that one of the new changes to the rules provides for these circumstances. That's why that's in there.
Thank you. At this time, we will open our regular meeting for
January. We still have to adopt the bylaws and meeting procedures.
Okay. I actually read those both together, but I reckon we have to do them separately. Okay, we will vote on the, or I want to have a motion on adoption of the Planning Commission bylaws and rules of procedure.
I make a motion that I move that the Planning Commission bylaws and rules and procedures for 2018 be adopted as presented.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Johnson. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second by Mr. Lagosino. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. And now we will open the regular meeting for January the 9th of the Planning Commission. First item is the director's report.
Mr. Chairman, just a couple items to report. The board took action on SB 1704 of Light Academy was approved by the Board of Supervisors 4-0 at the December 20th meeting. And ZMP 1704 Amber Hill LLC was also approved 4-0. That's all I have to report for this moment.
Okay, does anybody have any questions?
Mr. Chair, for the board, for the Planning Commission's information, to add to that, the two schools now have closed, and we no longer own the two schools, and the contracts have been closed on both of those.
Thank you. The next item is the first of two public comment sections. We will have another one at the end of the meeting. Anyone wishing to come make any comment on any items other than the items that are part of the agenda tonight, please come forward, state your name and address. You will limit it to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will move on to the next item, is our minutes from the December 12, 2017 meeting. Anyone have a motion about the minutes or any changes that need to be made or any questions about the minutes?
I have a question. The third motion down listed, which was a 2-2-1 vote, says it carried. Did that motion carry? I thought it failed.
It failed.
So that needs to be changed to failed.
Okay.
The third motion did.
So we have a correction on the third
under
motion.
ZMP 1704, sorry.
Okay. Question, correction that needs to be made on 17104. Any other questions or about the minutes? Do we have a motion to approve the minutes with the one correction?
So moved.
Okay, Mr. Zimmer makes a motion to approve the minutes with the one correction. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay. Next item is a public hearing tonight, SUP 1705, Jackson Automotive.
Mr. Chairman, I have some extra copies of the concept plan I'm just going to pass around to you all. Services. This is a special use permit request to establish and construct an automobile repair service establishment on a parcel identified as tax map 17A57C, which is in the Ravana Community Planning Area. The definition in the zoning ordinance for this use is defined as a facility for general repair, rebuilding, or reconditioning of engines, motor vehicles, trailers, or providing collision services. Just to emphasize, the applicant is only proposing to conduct general repair, which would include things such as oil changes, rotational tires, etc. So the property is currently undeveloped. A building that would be 60 feet by 100 feet in size is proposed to be built on the property. The building would have six bays, and the applicant proposes to park the vehicles that are awaiting repair to the rear of the proposed building, as you should see on the concept plan. So this is just a map to show the location of the project within the county. You can see it's basically near Lake Monticello area and the subdivision. And then this is an aerial view of what the property looked like, at least in 2013. For the most part, it's still currently wooded. To get your bearings, if you're traveling on 53, the site is across, if you're traveling north, the site is between the Union Bank and the Credit Union on the left. There's a wooded area there on the left. That is where the site would go. And then this is the sketch plan, the same drawing that I just passed around to you, showing where the entrance would be onto Route 53 there towards the northern property line of the site. You see a driveway would go around the building in addition with some parking areas for vehicles waiting repair and customer parking. And the minimum setback requirement in the zoning ordinance is 200 feet, just to note that the applicant is proposing to place the building even further back than that from Route 53. Over 300 feet based on what I measured. And this is, as you're traveling north on 53, the site is down the left. And if you can see there, towards the left-hand side of the screen in the foreground, there's a driveway. Just to note that that driveway leads to a residence on an adjoining property that the applicant also intends to utilize, but that would not be a part of the special use request. He would utilize that as a residence. The business would be on the solely on the parcel that I just mentioned earlier in the wooded area after you pass that driveway. And currently that parcel with the dwelling and then three parcels north of that, all of that is currently owned by one property owner. And it's kind of difficult to see with the trees, but the dwelling that I'm talking about is there in the background of those trees. In the spring and summer, when vegetation is on the trees, it's probably unlikely you would be able to see the dwelling. So to summarize, this is a special use permit to establish an automobile repair service establishment on tax number 17A57C. It's located within close proximity of an existing commercial area, which is known as the Jefferson Center. The project appears to meet all of the county's code requirements. Any potential and adverse impacts that would occur from the project would be potentially an increase in traffic, which occurs with any new business. So that concludes my presentation. A sample motion is on the screen. And I believe the applicant, as well as his representative, are present this evening for additional comments.
Does anybody have any questions?
I do not. So this is between the two residences. So you got the tower, then a residence, then this property, and then a residence?
I believe it's between the tower and the residence.
In between the tower and the residence, okay.
Yes.
Correct, yes.
Yes, that's the tower.
It's been very common to open this type of establishment in A1 areas in the past.
And it's within the growth area.
It is.
It's directly across from the commercial area, the right. Turkey Sag. And
the business is across the street. Is on the
Okay, would the applicant like to come forward and?
Barry.
Okay.
I just had a couple of questions. I assume the applicant has seen the conditions in the staff report. One of the conditions is no more than 5 vehicles waiting for service will be on the property outside of normal business hours. I note that there looks like there are about 46 parking spaces. If no more than 5 vehicles are parked, plus assuming normal customer parking, what is the need for all of that parking spaces?
Well, we wanted to leave that condition open for discussion with the applicant. That was just a starting point, and that was based on previous.
Those have been the typical conditions applied to these type of establishments in agricultural zoning in the past decade or so. The five vehicles, but it's up to the planning commission ultimately or supervisors whether that's appropriate still.
And I noted that no Saturday hours are planned at the moment. But that is not a condition. It will, they can expand into Saturday hours.
Not with this.
Right now, we just have limited to Monday through Friday.
Okay.
And I think that was based on the application.
I assure you, though, I have no intentions to be working weekends.
Sounds good to me, too.
For any of my employees.
But it is important to realize that, you know, these conditions would be binding. So particularly the one about 5 vehicles, seems, given the area it's in, it's one thing if this were out in the middle of nowhere, but this is directly adjacent to a business area. It just seems like maybe we should ask the applicant if he would like to change that, because it seems
absolutely. There's
obviously adequate parking, so it wouldn't be just cars parked all halfway in the county road or anything.
That was sitting there as a starting point.
It's also off the main. I mean, it's sufficiently back from the main.
Yeah, exactly. We want him to be successful.
Right, so. Right.
For sure.
I agree. I kind of struck by that as well, too.
Okay. Any other question?
The only other question I have is, do we have a height on the building? Do we know about what height the building will be?
I don't believe so. That
18-foot walls.
Okay.
And with a 12 pitch, it's pretty low. So you might be peaking at 20 at the most.
Okay. Just wanted to be sure.
Stories.
Well, I was thinking about the setbacks. And
the reason for 18 is because I currently do a lot of work for Pastor Bear at Covenant Church, and they have job buses. So I want to be able to keep doing that business. Currently, right now, I've been doing it all outside on the ground. So, because those buses don't fit in my current shop.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
Would the applicant or one representative come forward and so we could maybe possibly ask other questions, especially I think some of the people had some questions about the amount of inoperable vehicles on the property and so forth like that.
So my name is John Jackson, I'm 32 years of age, and I went to Charlottesville. This should be a little quick rundown about myself, of course, so you probably don't mind that. I came to Charlottesville at the age of 15. I attended Albemarle County High School by myself. I employed and worked at Express Car Wash by myself, and I paid over rent. I did this all on my own. So anyways, from that moment, I basically, out of high school, I got a job at an independent repair shop. I worked there, then I moved to 2 dealerships, and I worked there, and then after working at the dealership and with 10 years of automotive experience, well, maybe 10 to 11, I decided to do this on my own. Being that I've done everything on my own in my life with no help at all as far as financial part, the last 5 years, what I have done is I started by building a garage at my home, and I built a bay, and I've acquired the last 5 years all the equipment needed. I've overbought about $100,000 in equipment, all obviously brand new state-of-the-art machines, tire machines. I've even just recently purchased a rollback to help the fire and rescue if needed. I think it would be pretty good to have that locally rather than have to wait 45 minutes on something from Charlottesville. Of course, just the basic things with the shop, I would have I have Safety Clean who comes and gets all my materials, all my stuff is stored properly. I have OSHA approved, like, you know, just down to the shop rags, the wash station, the ice station. And keep in mind, I'm by myself and I have all this stuff. So, obviously lights where pick up and drop off would be, my hours of operation would be 7 to 6, Monday through Friday. The reason why I don't plan on ever working weekends is because what I've been doing for the last 4 years is I get up approximately 2:30, 3 o'clock every morning, and I work till the wife calls and says dinner is ready, which is around 8. I do that because of also my workload, and I really strive to to be positive and part of society. So I have Centos who comes and picks up my rags, my uniform, which would obviously be part of the employees. And obviously I have insurance. I've kept insurance. I'm LLC. I would keep insurance. And that's pretty much it. So.
How many employees you plan?
I would like to start off with about 3 to 5. I want one for me to be at the top, to be running the front. I obviously need a shuttle driver to take people back and forth to work. As y'all can imagine, dropping your cars off and wanting to get back and forth. And I would like 2 technicians. So.
Is that 5 inoperable vehicle, is that enough?
No, that, like Brad said, that was a start. I mean, ideally, obviously, I probably am assuming 15 to 20 cars a day will probably be getting repaired. And I want to keep a very clean place. And as far as storage, after 3 days of repair, unless noted otherwise, me and the car owner have agreed, then maybe you could acquire a storage fee because, you know, it's not a storage lot, it's a repair facility.
So would you want to change that number?
Yes.
Okay.
And you're, when you're talking about 15, they're not going to be there for days and days.
No. Like I said, after the car is repaired, I would generally like to keep it under 3 days for you to pick your vehicle up. Now, if you're obviously you're flown out of here, and you know you're back in a week, that's different. But you know, if it's, I would probably work out a payment plan where somebody before I'd keep their car for 3 months. I don't really have a whole lot of room for it, and I don't like things sitting around. I like to keep things moving. So.
Yeah. One of the reasons I was going to ask that question, because it's on Route 6 between Scottsville and Fork Union, there's 4 different repair shops there, and one of them a lot of times has a whole lot more than 5 vehicles sitting on their property.
I mean, yeah, and it could get up to, you know, to the parking that I have. I mean, that's very possible. I don't want to, you know, blow smoke, but I tend to just keep it moving, you know.
Mr. Chairman, the one thing I'd point out about the language of this condition is that number 5 only applies to things, to vehicles outside normal business hours.
Okay.
So if,
understood.
I'm not telling you what to do, but if you bring in the vehicle in the morning, gets fixed in the evening, it gets picked up, that one wouldn't count.
Nothing that's parked inside counts.
Sorry?
Nothing that would be left inside would count either, right?
Right.
I'm not so sure from the wording.
I think that's not the case.
Yeah, I think it would count based on that wording. That's what I say. It seems very restrictive and unnecessarily restrictive. It doesn't seem that low a number serves a good purpose for us. And if it doesn't meet your needs, I would, you know, recommend you advocate for a different number.
I agree.
What would be comfortable with?
I mean, if we have the amount of parking, I mean, you know, I'd like to probably shoot for that. I mean, it's going to vary. Cars are going to come and go. So.
Well, you're going to have some open parking spaces for customers coming in and out. So you wouldn't want to go to the complete amount of that.
Right. Well, then also, I mean, if I'm overly booked, I also schedule vehicles. You know, if somebody wants to bring a car in and I'm maxed out or getting close to maxed out or halfway maxed out, I might tell that person, look, it's going to be 4 or 5 days before I get to your vehicle. So that will help, obviously. Reaching that.
Justin Champ, I'm the engineer. Suggestion, deal with this issue. Maybe have parking in the front, maybe parking in the back. The idea is parking in the front, your customers come in, and that's where you interface people in the back. It's really sort of set for the, say, short-term storage of a day for a car, while it's being later picked up. So maybe a solution would be to say just that all vehicles waiting for service shall be stored behind the building or something along those lines in the parking spaces, you know, approved by the county, the site plan. I think it could be if you have 15 parking spaces back from the final plan, and you can fit 15. If you have 20, it's 20. Our concept plan is 22 spaces. So that sort of fits what we think is the maximum, but it might be just simpler than having to count cars or say anything that's going to be stored overnight. If someone's not picking up that day, just store it behind the building.
And also simply vehicles that will be staying overnight is possibly a lot of reasons since you can't get parts the same day. It takes a day to get the part in, so.
Yeah, to just park behind inside or behind the building. Sounds like good language that would certainly meet the aesthetic needs of the county and probably serve you better.
Okay.
There also, there was mention of lighting so that customers coming in after dark that were leaving cars would be able to see.
Yes.
They would need to be directed to park in the back as well then, so the lighting would need to bring them around the back.
Okay, that's fine.
If they were going to be doing that, if that's where we wanted them to park.
Or what if it's the side? Well, yeah, I would, being that I'm doing this, you know, mostly at cost, I would like to do mostly gravel to start off, and obviously as things progress, I would love to have asphalt for the, you know, the conveniency of the customer.
Okay, any more questions that the applicant or Mr. Shemp? Thank you.
And also, let me just ask you this. If for as far as the parking, if it had to be in the back, I mean, that's fine, but like if we did the side, keep in mind I'll be coming in there before the sun comes up, and I'll be moving these cars, some be putting in bays. They've already put on the lid for the technicians, you know, for me to be prepared for the day, just to throw that out there.
Yeah, well, we would say either behind the building or inside the building.
Okay.
And that would allow you that flexibility? Recommend that.
You might want to word something like all vehicles waiting for service shall be stored in or behind the building outside normal business hours.
Okay.
I think that would summarize the discussion.
Okay. At this time, we're going to open the public hearing. Anyone from the public that wishes to come forward to speak on this item, please come forward, state your name and address. You'll be allowed 3 minutes.
I'm Susie Morris. I live at 6840 Thomas Jefferson Parkway, Palmyra, Virginia. And some of the same concerns that I had have been raised. I also have some questions in my mind as to if someone has an established business with only one bay, it seems they're really going out on a limb to go to six bays. And in checking with some establishments which are smaller, not six bay establishments, those places could have anywhere from 10 to 20 cars sitting at a time outside. There could be as many as 40 or 45 vehicles dealt with per day. Weekly, that would be for smaller establishments, anywhere from 100 to 200 vehicles a week. So those questions came to mind. And also the fact that Mr. Jackson says that he wants to be able to expand so he can meet the needs of his customers. Well, he says that it would make it much more convenient for people out here not having to drive, and I don't know whether it's 20 to 30 miles or 20 to 30 minutes, because that's not in there, it's left out. But he must assume then that we're going to have his customers traveling the same distance to come out here for his new shop. And that particular area, yes, it's across from Food Lion, across from that development which is surrounded, that business development which is surrounded by Lake Monticello portions of it. But that particular area is now designated as A1, agricultural. And there are open spaces, but there are also homes in that area. And I think that the businesses that are there, the karate group, the plant place, I think they're all very compatible. The same clientele generally would be coming to those businesses. There are people in the community, people that don't come but several times a week if it's karate, or once or twice. Plant place, usually it's seasonal. But here I can envision that in the midst of where you have individual residences and a basically rural area designated as agricultural, that you would have a number of individuals, especially if clientele come from distances, And a much greater number if you're looking to make the business as successful as anticipated with six bays. So you have a number of people that probably are not going to come out here, but so often, and they're individuals that are not necessarily from the community, and they're not the regular customers as in the karate place or the plants place. I think there are businesses that would be very compatible for that area. But I do have some concerns, and I do also have the concerns if you have a residence right next door, it's going to be much more tempting to start going for weekend work. And the same question with no more than five vehicles on the property. After hours, I don't think that's anywhere near feasible for the scope that this business appears to have in mind. And these were smaller automotive businesses, anywhere from two or three bays to four. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to come forward, please come forward, state your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end the public hearing and have discussion by the Planning Commission. During my term on the Planning Commission, we have approved several of these type of businesses in different parts of the county. All of the ones that I've known were actually in A1. And we've not had any complaints that I know of any of these. Like the rest of you, I did have concerns about the limit five, and I think we had some possible language about the back of the building and inside the building that possibly could be considered. You know, we are directly across from a gas station, which has lots of in and out traffic also, got Food Line across there and so forth like that. I think, as well as I remember, the traffic count was like, 7,600 or something like that per day. And so you do have a lot of traffic in this area. And it might be a good place for a business of this type to be. And it is part of the growth area.
My initial concern with it was the proximity to the residence, but with his residence, you know, the residence that he's planning on using being between the other residences, and that kind of laid my concern.
Certainly, in the A1 district, vehicle repair facilities are allowed as a special use permit use. The point of our conditions is to make sure that it's compatible with adjacent properties, provided that the site meets all of the site plan requirements at the end, and I'm sure the staff will make sure that that occurs. I think that the conditions would reasonably govern this particular development, which I think is good for economic development, is in an appropriate area and meets the zoning ordinance.
And most of our county is B1.
Right, I mean, if we go with, if something's zoned agriculture, we're not gonna promote business in that area. We will promote no business in this county because the vast majority, we established the zoning when the vast majority of the county was undeveloped, so everything just by default pretty much got agricultural zoning. Now, we've got the designated growth areas with which this meets, so it seems, I understand the concerns. I think we've addressed a number of vehicle concerns, or we have an idea of how to address that, but I think it's a suitable place for you to probably find in the county for such an establishment.
I think there's a need. If you try to use the local auto repair shop, you got a couple days wait for what we got available now.
And at the end of the day, I mean, that's Mr. Jackson, right?
Yes,
that's
sir.
Mr. Jackson's concern. If this business is going to make it, not ours. I mean, if this business doesn't make it, that will be tragic. But
yeah, and as I was talking about before, most of those ones down on Route 6 are near residential areas, and as far as I know, we've never had any complaint. We also have another one up on North Fork Road right there where there are so small, like subdivision type area there and so forth, where there are and so forth. I've actually had vehicle service there. So, any other discussion?
We haven't had any complaints on anything from any of the local residences. Have we about this, these that are close by to this
there
property?
Was nobody at the neighborhood meeting, correct? No, nobody
been,
came.
I haven't been contacted
so, I mean,
by the neighbors.
I don't see where it would be an objection.
If there's no more discussion, do I have a recommendation or motion? And if there's going to be a changing of conditions, we need to make sure that they are approved by our council here.
Let me do it.
Sure.
All right, I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission recommend approval of SUP 1705, a request to establish an automobile repair service establishment with respect to 4.009 acres of tax map 17, section A, parcel 57C, subject to the 11 conditions listed in the staff report, with a change in condition number 4 to read, vehicles waiting for service shall be stored in or behind the building outside normal business hours.
Okay, I have a motion by Ms. Costalesa, and do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Zimmer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0, it is approved. Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
The next item is on the agenda are two site development plans. The first of those will be SDP 1709, Lake Monticello Pool Replacement.
This is a sketch plan to replace the existing pool structure at the Lake Monticello community with a new pool structure. Respect approximately 7.5 acres of tax map 18A-1-70B. It's located in an R4 residential limited zoning district, and it replaces an existing pool and deck area. It's a location within the county, and it's just past the Ashland Gate. I wish our laser pointer would work on the TV here, but Ashland's up there at the top, and the pool is down there at the bottom by the lake. This is the zoning map. It's all zoned R4. The demolition plan will affect all of the existing pool and hardscape, as well as some sidewalks and some landscaping, and that will be replaced with a new sidewalk path, some new landscaping and lighting, and then the revised pool deck and pool area. The existing pool house will be unaffected, and there's going to be a storage equipment for chlorine and other hazardous materials underneath the pool deck. So in conclusion, this is replace an existing pool and deck structure, no changes to the pool house. There will be some landscaping changes, and staff recommends approval subject to the four conditions listed in the staff report. And there's a motion, and the applicant is here this evening. I'll answer any questions you may have.
It is basically at the same spot that
yes,
the pool was.
Yes, sir.
Does anybody have any other questions for Mr. Newman? Does anyone need to speak to the applicant? Okay. Do I have a motion?
We have one question from Mr. Payne.
We have a question from Mr. Payne.
Since I live in Lake Monticello, should I excuse myself from this vote?
I don't think it constitutes, unless you feel that you can't be objective about it.
No.
So I don't live in Lake Monticello, I'll make the motion.
I move to approve SDP 1709, the sketch plan to replace the existing pool structure at Lake Monticello community with a new pool structure with respect to approximately 7.5 acres of tax map 18A-1-70B, subject to the four conditions listed on the staff report.
Okay. I have a motion from Mr. Zimmer to approve SDP P1709. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Johnson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. 5-0. Okay, the second site development plan we have tonight is SDP 1710, Cunningham United Methodist Church.
This is a sketch plan to establish an approximately 3,000 square foot assembly hall with respect to approximately 3.3 acres of tax map 18, section A, parcel 15. A religious use requires a special use permit in A1. This, however, is being considered an accessory use. The church would be the main religious use. This as an assembly hall is just for communal gatherings and things of that nature. We're considering an accessory use. And it's within our A1 district. This is where it's located within the county. This is the overview of the property, the existing church, the zoning, it and the surrounding parcels are all zoned A1. And this is our sketch plan. There'll be some changes to the sidewalk, but no changes to parking. They might have some new landscaping, and they have the assembly hall itself. It's an assembly hall for communal gatherings, no new parking. They may add on the kitchen in the future if the budget allows, and that was addressed at the TRC by the fire chief and the building official. Appears to meet the requirements of our zoning ordinance, and we have three conditions. And a motion. Any questions you may have? The applicant's here.
I have a question. On the application, it states that this building will be used as an educational facility, not as an assembly hall, which is a separate SUP use. So I wonder what the actual use of this building is going to be.
Mr. Wolf?
If
I'd like the architect to, or I think the architect's more appropriate for this question. He's here.
Do you mean go up there?
Please,
yes,
sir.
I think you talk about religious education type Sunday
school. Architect for the project. It's just an open, at this point, an open multi-use space that's going to be used for various church programs. I don't know, an assembly hall is the correct terminology for it. There's a plan to build classrooms as funding permits to divide it into classroom spacing. The funding for the church is very tight, so we have kind of a multi-layered concept for the building, and what funding permits will be built. What we're proposing right now is basically four walls, a roof, and two sets of bathrooms. That appears to be all they can afford at the moment, but we're hoping as momentum goes for the project, it'll allow addition first, maybe a possible kitchen, which is very important to the congregation. And then the plan is to divide that room up into eight or so classrooms, but the funding for it is very.
But when you talk about classrooms, are we talking about Sunday school,
yes,
which is different
only
than
Sunday
week-long
school
educational?
No,
okay.
Most use of this building is a couple hours per day,
right,
each for youth programs,
right,
for.
It's not a school.
Right.
No, it's not a school building.
Because if it was, we
it's
would
not
encourage
an
them to re, you know, go through the SUP process.
Yeah.
Not that we, you know, kick that out, but just want to make sure you're getting what you need.
Right. That's what I was concerned about.
Yeah.
Any more questions?
I do have a question. When we were looking at the staff recommended conditions, it talks about meeting the site plan requirements. And the site plan requirements include landscaping and lighting, which the applicant said they can't afford at this time. So how will that work?
Right now they have issues with the budget for landscaping. They have got existing tree coverage to the south and to the north, which is fine. They're not doing any new parking. If they're doing new parking, then we would have to institute our parking landscaping requirements. They're not making any changes to that, just to the hardscape, some of the sidewalks. So what they propose, to me, seems to meet our requirements right now for landscaping with the existing tree buffer that they have.
Unless they remove that buffer.
If they were to remove the buffer or to alter the site,
right,
then my understanding is that, yes, they would have to do some changes, but.
And the additional square footage of the space of the assembly hall and its use don't require any more parking than they have.
They've got plenty of parking right now as it is.
This is a huge
area
there.
I just wanted to make sure the numbers worked. Yeah.
And a church doesn't require pavement also. It allows like rock. Do you have any other questions? Okay, thank you. don't see any real problem with this. I've been on this property many times. It's a nice, large piece of property, and I don't see any where it would bother anything in this particular neighborhood or so forth like that. So, does anybody else have any comments? Or do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that it be approved. I move to approve SDP 1710, a sketch plan to establish an approximately 3,238 square feet assembly hall with respect to approximately 3.3 acres of tax map 18, section 8, parcel 15, subject to the three conditions listed in the staff report.
Okay. I have a motion for Mr. Johnson to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second from Mr. Lagasina. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay. Next on our agenda tonight is unfinished business. I'm not sure whether we're doing both of these tonight.
Just this, sir. The accessory homestay.
Accessory homestay's been pushed to February.
Okay. That's what I understood earlier today. So we're going to talk about strategic zoning authorization.
Basically, we are going to ask the commission to formally make a recommendation on what was discussed last month, because we plan to ask the board supervisors for a public hearing for February to make the change, and Mr. Newman will do so.
Just broadly, we've already discussed this in several of our work sessions, and based on our comments at the last one, we've decided that strategic zoning will affect all those parcels and land use which are located within the entirety of the Zion Crossroads CPA. It's a larger area where we're seeing a lot of growth and development. We've got our draft code language that's been set up here for the board, and then I just have a motion to...
this is outside the zoning ordinance, so it's technically outside the Planning Commission's purview, but it's always good to run these kind of things by the Planning Commission as it relates to zoning.
Yeah, this is not required most actually.
So,
and we have
to we would just include this recommendation with the report to the board supervisors.
And we have discussed it in our work sessions.
Yes. And this would apply to the pink area. And
everything in pink,
the entire area.
Community planning area.
I think that was what we basically came to agreement on when we were talking about it.
Yeah.
We discussed different things at the time and learned a lot of stuff about where there's interest and so forth like that. Do I have any more discussion, or do I have a motion that we send this to the Board of Supervisors?
Yeah, I will move to recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve the proposed amendment to Section 20-4-8 of the Fluvanna County Code concerning rollback taxes as part of our strategic zoning initiative as presented by the staff.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion to have a second by Ms. Costalesa. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye, 5-0. Okay. Is there any new business or any other items that we need to discuss tonight? Right now will be our second of two public comment sections. Anyone wishing to come forward to speak on any issue in the county, please come forward, state your name and address. You will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing no one coming forward, we will end our second of two public comment sections. If there's no objections from members of the Planning Commission or the staff or the Planning Department, for Mr. Payne, we will adjourn at this time. Seeing no one objecting, we are now adjourned at 7:52.